baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
Wire and another one. My goodness.
Early.
All right. Good afternoon. It is Monday morning mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack, sporting his out hustle my yesterday hat. Of course, Oh My Apparel has been ever so generous in supporting this small-time podcast here on the walk-off. They are our sponsor for Long Toss, which runs every single Sunday from 6 to 8 Eastern. Figured we'd give that a quick plug here, of course.
Yeah,
with
not?
The mailbag, what we do is we comb through all of your comments from the week, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's in Discord. Of course, Discord is always free, and there is a link in the show notes. You can DM us on Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast, on Twitter, at Walk Off Podcast, and, of course, you can drop your comments in YouTube. Lots to get to today. Should quickly mention Patreon, a big thank you to everyone who has supported us throughout the last few months here. I know Adam's got the list.
Michael, Sarah, John, Simon, Rashid, Joshua, Jeremy, and Ian. Big, massive, thank you to everybody supporting us there.
Is Moneyball up, or it's going to be up right away here?
Moneyball,
right,
is going to be up this week. I just need to find an opening in our schedule to kind of put it up so we're not putting out two pieces. You know what? Why am I even doing that? It's going to be private other than for Patreon, so it's not like it's going to compete with views and we're going to be like, oh, we only got 7 views on this because we released it at Tuesday at midnight. Yeah, I'll just fucking put it up tonight. Forget it. Hey, that's a nice mug you got there.
Hey, right?
Yeah, it's great.
You can get your walk-off mug by paying the big bucks on Patreon.
Big bucks on Patreon.
Like Michael is, yes.
Yes. Patreon, it's $4 a month. Support us there. I think we have 6 movie reviews up now. We've got Bull Durham. We've got Major League. We've got Mr. Baseball. We've got The Lost Tape of A League of Their Own, which may be found one day, probably not. And we've got Moneyball, and then hopefully in the next week, Scott and I are able to do Field of Dreams. So
yes,
all that for $4 a month. Plus, we do have 10 to 15 minute pre-show, behind the scenes kind of content as well. We have that for basically every show of the week. So it's a good cause. Helps us out. All right. I'm not supposed to call this a donation, a contribution from someone on Patreon. So special shout out to Rashid over in Qatar. Was very generous with helping us upgrade our setup here for the walk-off. So
we've got all sorts of bells and whistles.
We've got all sorts of bells and whistles coming. You're going to see a little snippet of what that's going to involve today, but hopefully it's going to result in less operator error on my part. It should overall kind of
improve your viewing experience. Yeah.
There
the
you
hope.
Go. Exactly. So part of that is going to be implemented as of today. We've got our fancy streaming gear going. We got some more HD webcam so you guys can see us and all of our beauty. Man, we got roasted in the comments when we were asking if we should upgrade our webcams. A lot of people think we're ugly, apparently, is the general feedback we got on that. But
okay,
thank you to that. Good. So yeah,
good to have such a honest fan base.
We downgrade really the webcam that. Was actually what most people were saying. Yeah, downgrade. Standard definition would be best. Low lighting and bad webcam would be best for us. So we went the opposite direction, but we'll be getting our camera equipment upgraded later this week. So anyways,
we call that the Jordan Groshans, right? Just a dark room, no lighting.
Yes. Gordon Groshans. All right. Shall we get to the mailbag, my friend?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, so we're going to start off with a fun one. So Chris and Isaac both sent us this clip on Instagram. Left-handed hitter, the Blue Jays need. It's a dog that can hit a ball better than I can. So before we talk about this, I'm going to just play the clip. So let's see it here.
Dangerous right-handed batter. Here's the pitch.
And there it is. Look at that. This is the high-tech gadgets in use. We have clips to interject into our stream now. So if you're listening on iTunes
the audio
or Spotify, sorry about that. No
Mount
benefits
sand.
To you yet. What did you think of that dog that could hit the ball, Scott?
A real Otis Nixon swing there.
Very
nice.
Very wild. Very aggressive. It. Yeah. Yes. No, it was a lot of fun. So thanks for sharing all your fun memes and videos that you come across.
More launch angle than anything that we've seen out of Tapia recently. That's for sure.
Yeah. No kidding. We need Air Bud in the lineup. That's what we need. All right. Next one we've got here comes from Scott, who says, I think this is in response to part of a conversation we had on Long Toss. This might have been after you left on Sunday, Scott. I know you had to take off a few minutes early to watch the Flames lose in devastating fashion to my Edmonton Oilers. So anyways, so Scott says, I personally think home runs are the least exciting part of the game. The explosions and the light show work like a laugh track on a sitcom. Bigger parks is the long-term solution, Scott says. But that would take 20 years to be achieved at the earliest. And then he goes on to say, just to expand on the difference between bigger ballparks and dead balls is that bigger parks creates more doubles and triples, but dead balls just creates more easy flyouts. I mean, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. I mean, this would take a concerted, unified effort from baseball. And if MLB has shown anything, it's that that is not their strong suit.
Yeah, I mean, in order to make a actual difference, right? Like, let's just say the Blue Jays are renovating their stadium and we're expecting changes to that outfield wall, dimensions and shape. So let's say the Blue Jays were the first team to implement a bigger ballpark. You'd need to push the walls back significantly, make that outfield substantially bigger in order to actually see an uptick in doubles and triples, right? Like,
I would say
10, 15 feet isn't going to make much of a difference. We're talking, you know, 50-ish feet.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have one ballpark that has 50 feet deeper than everywhere. Like, they have to be somewhat close, right? Or else it's a wild...
Well, and I think this is where his point of this would take 20 years is accurate, right? Because it would need to coincide with renovations from every ballpark. It would need to coincide with new ballparks being built and what they're doing going forward with dimensions. I honestly, he's probably right. This probably is the long-term solution. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that they get rid of the shift, they mess with the balls and the positioning of the players well before we see any sort of legislation on dimensions in ballparks. So
ballparks were built initially hundreds of years ago when people weren't the athletes they are today, mm-hmm. right? So the range of a human was not what it is today, right? And then you add scouting reports and shifting on top of that. I mean, bigger ballparks, probably the answer. But like you said, it would take 20 years to implement. And on top of that, it would need to happen almost simultaneously, right? Across the board, mm-hmm. because you couldn't have 15 teams with 500-foot outfield walls and another 15 with 310 outfield. Like, it would just be It would be quite the change to happen at the same time to make it happen fairly. I don't know. What about, okay, we're talking about banning the shift next year, right? This kind of thought just popped into my head, so it's probably not a good one. But what if we limited the infield, sorry, the outfield depth? Like, had a three-point line, essentially, of like, your outfielders have to start, you know, behind this distance from home, right?
Interesting.
Or have them play shallower, where it's like they have to play, closer in, and then I don't know.
This is where we're at. It's like, for me, I'm like, fix the balls. Like, what?
I know, man. I know. Well, let's. Yeah, I know. It's so stupid. All right, fix the balls. Let's start with that. All right, moving on then. Thanks for that comment, yes. Scott. It was a fun one.
Yes.
I mean, hey, you know what? It beats the. I'd rather have comments like this than what's the price it's going to take to get Juan Soto? You know,
yeah.
I'm already sick of that conversation. Yeah. So appreciate the variety in the comments. Pretty good variety coming in for this one today. So then Dulcimerist on YouTube says, remember last year the Blue Jays started the season bouncing around 500. They had a 32-35 record on June 18th and went on to win 91 games. So below 500, three games under 500, June 18th, that would have been around the one-third mark of the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, that's reason to be optimistic, right, Scott? Like, it's possible, but I don't think banking on 25 wins in September is something that's going to help me sleep at night.
100%. I mean, we see it every year in baseball. Teams being counted out early, right? Mm-hmm. Teams being, even in May or June, being said, yeah, they've got no shot. I mean, look at the Atlanta Braves last year. They were below 500 going into June.
Look at the Boston Red Sox this year.
Yeah.
Right? They're all of a sudden like a game and a half back of us for the last playoff spot.
I saw this coming. I mean, we talked about the fact that the Red Sox were a much better team than they were playing as.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't jump off the deep end and say that they're a great team, but mm-hmm. they definitely weren't a, like when they were 10-20, like they're mm-hmm. not a 10-20.
They're
team
not the Reds. They're not the Pirates. No. Like, yeah. I'm not ready to say they're going to make the playoffs, but I do think they're going to be feisty and fighting for a
Trevor
playoff
Story,
spot the whole way.
Trevor Story is looking really good all of a sudden. And he had a mega slump in April. And of course, it even made it worse being that it was a new team, that it was a mega contract, that he got that $140 million deal, that they slotted him in to second base in a position change. Like, there's a lot going on for mm-hmm. the dude. And the weight of the world must have felt like it was on his shoulders. And now it's, he's settled in, I guess, is the right way to put it. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on from that optimism to Joshua sent me this question on Instagram. If you could choose either a high impact bullpen arm or a high impact position player at the deadline, which would you choose and why? And Josh says that he tends to lean bullpen on this one. Thanks.
What an interesting question. Is it, like, would this be an acceptable answer, Adam? We reevaluate at the trade deadline? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you were to take where the Jays are at right now, May 24th, I would say we need an impact bat. And I say we need it yesterday, right? But who knows where we're going to be at in 2 months when the trade deadline is approaching. Hopefully, we're not sitting here pining over a Josh Bell. You know, right. Like, I think this team definitely needs both. I don't think that there's any reason to need to make that decision. I think that you go out and get what you need at the trade deadline, especially if this team is still where they should be, which would mean somewhat in playoff contention. Yeah.
Well, that's not a fun answer.
Where are you at? Would you, you've got to feel pretty close to the same, right?
Yeah, I'm out of answers for like how to fix this team. I don't see any holes other than we just need to play up to our like abilities, right? Like, I'm not looking at anywhere in the infield and going, yeah, Santiago's not cutting it. Like, Chapman yeah. is not fucking going. Like, our infield is set, right?
Yes.
Chapman, Bichette, Espinal, Guerrero. None of, like, that's our infield for this season.
Yeah.
If we look at the outfield, I mean, I guess that's the one place where we could really improve with a proper fourth outfielder, or maybe, you know, a better second outfielder that makes Gurriel become our fourth outfielder, or whatever the case may be. Or Teoscar, fourth outfielder / full-time DH. Maybe that's it. Like, I know we've talked about Josh Bell and all these different options for a left field or an outfield left-handed hitter. I don't know, man. When we talk Josh Bell, it was the same thing. Like, if we got Juan Soto tomorrow as a obviously best case scenario, that doesn't fix the hitting from the other eight guys in the lineup, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's grind it till you find it, I guess, is the only advice I have.
Truly. And, you know, I've always been a proponent of when you make a trade, you look forward. You don't look back. You don't pine over the guy that you moved. You got to just keep on the tracks, moving in the direction that you want to be moving in. However, it's hard not to just look at this lineup and be like, man, it's crazy to think that this lineup would be so much better off with Randall Grichuk in it right now.
I know, right?
Which is so ridiculous. And again, I really believe you got to look forward, and I'm not pining over Randall Grichuk, but I really do think that it was a little bit of a misstep that maybe they weren't as sure-footed in the outfield as maybe this front office originally thought that they would be, you know, and like now that they strengthen an area that they thought they needed with Tapia, which was putting the ball in play more, adding some speed. Like, I don't know. I just, like, the fourth outfield position on this team is just...
the whole Tapia Grichuk thing and getting Zimmer, those were, like, calculated risks, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you need to do as a management team, and hopefully most of your risks turn out, right? They did the same thing with Yusei Kikuchi. Right? Yusei Kikuchi, I mean, so far, despite some shaky starts early, has looked like that one's working out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We didn't maybe think so 3 weeks ago, but he's, you know, the work he's done with Pete Walker, and we knew, and people smarter than us knew, that the Pete Walker effect isn't going to be a day one roll him out there, hey, you know, you've gotten this far doing what you're doing, but I want you to change everything and listen to my advice, right? Like, you got to get the player to buy in and whatever. So, like, it is, I don't know. I'm optimistic that this new Say Kikuchi is better than the old Say Kikuchi. And as stupid as that is, if that's our two gambles that this front office took this year, we could have either had Tapia and Zimmer work out, or we could have had Kikuchi work out. I'm glad Kikuchi worked out. I don't know.
I agree. And you know what? If the offense didn't feel like it
so
was
putrid.
Drowning.
Yeah,
exactly. It wouldn't be such a big deal. Because really, if you're going to sit here as a Jays fan and pick apart their fourth outfielder, I mean, that's obviously not the problem, right? Yeah, exactly. It's like last year, when everyone was blaming Rafael Dolis. Like, yeah, Rafael Dolis was not a helpful part of that bullpen, but it also was not Rafael Dolis's fault that he was being strutted out there every ninth inning in high leverage situations.
It's the Kevin Biggio at third base effect. All right, let's move on from there, shall we?
Yes.
All right, so the next
we just start talking this offense. We both get so, like, sad and solemn.
It's not working for anybody. So the next one comes in from one of my favorite people in the world, Ronald McDonald.
Yes.
So this is a great comment. Ronald McDonald says, no Big Macs for Chapman or Vlad. Espinal can get a 20-pack of nuggets. but he has to give a few fries to Bo Bichette. I mean, it's a weird analogy, but I'm here for it. Give Bo his fries. Espinal earns the nuggets, and no Big Macs for anybody else. I mean,
hey,
this kind
of... listen, Espinal was moved up into the two hole yesterday in this lineup. We saw Vladimir Guerrero Jr. slotting in right after him. So it went Springer, Espy, Vladdy, Bichette. It wasn't a bad mix-up. I mean, I really think that Espinal was the only one who is hot with the bat on this team. He's got a 16-game hitting streak going on. At this point, do something, do anything. And I liked him being moved into the two-hole there. I mean, I never thought we'd be in a situation where we're talking about Santiago Espinal being in the two-hole, but here we are.
Got to do something. So this kind of leads into the next dozen comments or so that we have here, which are all related to fire the hitting coach.
Right. Guillermo Martinez.
Does it just all fall on his shoulders, Scott?
I mean, obviously, it doesn't just fall on his shoulders. That's an insane way of looking at it. We are getting to a point in the season where his job may not be safe anymore, though. I mean, we are May 24th, and this offense has not shown any signs of life. It is not showing any signs of coming out of this little slump that they're in, and it is ice cold from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Now, there's no light switch solution here. And when I mean that, it's not, you can't just flick it on. Firing Guillermo Martinez and replacing him with, my guess would be someone from inside the organization. Maybe the hitting coach in Buffalo gets a call up. I don't know who you replace it with. Larry Walker has been a name that's been thrown out there.
Larry Walker and Dante Bichette. Get the old teammates back together.
Yes. And this is the thing, too. Dante Bichette is not the solution. And if you don't think that this team still has access to the knowledge within Dante Bichette, you are fooling yourself. Also, I think Dante Bichette would already be on this staff if he wanted to be on this staff. I think there's a big reason why he's not there.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if he had the answers, like if he just knew what advice to give Teoscar Hernandez, you don't think he would like fucking send his son a text message and be like, hey, Teo needs to, you know, choke up on the bat and lower that front shoulder or whatever the case may be, right? Like,
Dante's got money. He could hop on a plane and go tell him. There's no way that all sorts of insight and advice hasn't been passed along to this team from every single person who thinks they might be able to help within the organization. Yeah. I mean, this is a crisis. Literally, if you don't think that Ross Atkins is losing sleep and waking up in the morning just being like, what the hell am I going to do? Like, what are we going to do? Of course, the whole organization is riddled with stress over this. But that doesn't help either, right? I mean, if you look at the players, and we've talked about this, they're gripping the bat tight, right? And I know that's just a metaphor for they're overthinking it. But literally, that's the case. Like, from top to bottom, this team does not have confidence when they come up to the plate.
Side note, you're a community fan?
Yes.
When you just said crisis, I had to make a note in my phone to get the clip ready for this new soundboard of ours of Garrett from Community saying crisis alert.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite clips from that whole show. And that's how I feel right now about this whole team situation is crisis
alert. The mock UN. Yes. Crisis alert.
Yes, the mock UN. Yes, that's the episode it's from. So we'll pull that
out. Oscar's striking out again.
I need a clip of that too. Just you saying that. All right. I guess we'll move on from there. Hitting coach wise, thank you for all of the comments regarding that. We have such a wonderful Discord community that a lot of our YouTube comments just end up happening in Discord. But it was nice to see this week. We did have some dialogue and some interaction back and forth on the YouTube side of things as well. Mm-hmm. It really does help the algorithm. And let's just say at this point, we're about 25 minutes into this episode. If you're still watching this far, we'd appreciate a like and a comment and a subscribe and a tell your friends and share it on Reddit and all the dark corners of the interweb. Okay, moving on. Speaking of Discord, the next comment comes from Discord. So Moisey okay. Got Bands says, okay, we keep arguing Barucci or Phelps. Let's be honest, though. Our offense wasn't going to do anything in the top of that next inning to win anyways.
Yeah, it was a pretty downtrodden game chat last night. I'll tell you that after watching that Grand Slam walk-off win from Paul Goldschmidt. That was a tough one to swallow for all the Jays fans. And obviously in the Discord, that was what was going on. Why are they going to Merriweather? Should it be Phelps? Who should it be? And I mean, he kind of sums it up beautifully at the end. Doesn't matter. The offense is anemic anyways.
Certainly. Yeah.
I mean, when they gave up those two runs to St. Louis to tie it up in the seventh. And I hate to say this, it just felt like the writing was on the wall, man. And we need a game to break out of these shackles. We need something to happen where this isn't the precedence anymore, because that is what's happened. As soon as this team is in a tight game at the end of the game, you know, a tight game.
Yeah, it does.
It feels like it's over.
Yeah, it's weird how a tie feels insurmountable.
3 runs feels like they've maxed out for what they can score in a game.
Well, look, tonight we got the second and final game of this series against the Cardinals. This is a must-win game. This is our best chance at a win for the rest of the week. Like, it's not getting any easier going against the Angels for 4. We do
Kevin
have an
Gausman
off day,
on the bump.
Yes, Kevin Gausman on the bump. So there's no better guy to send out there in a must-win situation, right? I mean, for all the love and adoration that we and everybody has for Alek Manoah, I think game one of the playoffs, Gossman's getting the ball at this point still, right? Like, I don't know. That's an interesting question. I mean, it feels like our top three starters for playoffs is Berríos, Gossman, and Manoah.
Has to be.
But who gets the ball in game one, in your opinion? Berríos got it on opening day. De facto starter, or like opening day starter. But when it comes to playoffs, I mean, we're only a quarter of the way through the season. So, like, obviously, we're getting ahead of ourselves even having this conversation. But just as, like, a fun exercise. Not that any exercise is fun. Gausman, Manoah, Berríos, who do you give the ball to in game one of the...
Okay, so if we're going to go right this second, playoff start tomorrow, I go with Manoah. However, I think that you play it by ear and see who's hottest at the time. So whether it's if Berríos has himself a monster September and we're just can't stop talking about the stuff he's bringing to the mound, then you go with him. I think that we've got 3 incredibly capable front-end starters, and I think that you go with the hot hand. That would be my...
I can't argue with that logic there. That's pretty sound.
Crisis alert! Charlie won't go to Manoah, or Charlie won't go to Romano. That was the one thing yesterday, was that Romano wasn't brought in that tie game. And then when they talked to Charlie about it, he was like, oh, well, we tried bringing him in a tie game before and it didn't work. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? You go to your best reliever when you need it. Crisis alert.
All right. thanks for that. All right, so next one comes from Discord as well. With Adley Rutschman getting promoted to the Orioles this week, Moreno, Gabriel Moreno, is now number 4 in the MLB's top 100 prospects. So that comes in from Original Blunt Smoking on Discord. So thank you for that. Aurelvis Martinez is now number 31, and Jordan Groshans is now number 75. So everybody kind of just shifted up one slot. I know there was some people in the top 100 list who were risers and fallers, but all three Blue Jays prospects basically just moved up the one spot from the vacated Adley Rutschman. I don't know, by the way, if it's Rutschman, like Mount Rushmore, or Rutschman. Like, is there a T and a CH in there? I don't know. We were kind of talking about this beforehand, and we both thought it was Rutschman.
Yeah. Then I was talking. So correct us if we're wrong.
Yeah, correct us if we're wrong. I don't know what the right answer is there. I had no doubts that it was Rutschman until I saw a TikTok from an Orioles fan refer to him as Rutschman. So now I'm really second guessing.
Doubting ourselves, yes.
But then follow up in Discord from Rezzy pointed out Jordan Groshans' numbers this season in AAA. So the sample size is a bit smaller than looking at like a Samad Taylor or a Lukes or any of those guys who've played the full season. Jordan Groshans missed the first chunk of games rehabbing from injury, but
yeah,
it's still a decent sample size at this point. I think he's played more than half the games consecutively at this point. Mm-hmm. But his stat line goes like this. 452 on base percentage with a 16% walk rate and only a 7% strikeout rate. But the slugging percent,
to see.
Which very good, right? So he's walking more than twice as often as he strikes out, which is
phenomenal. I mean,
it's only AAA, but like those are elite numbers at yes. any level, right? That's exactly what you'd love to see. Slugging percentage is lacking. Slugging percentage.
So not a ton of power.
Not a ton of power being shown, but I mean, that's kind of true for everyone across the league except for Aaron Judge. Mm-hmm. So his slash line looks like this: 356 batting average, 452 on base percentage, thanks to all those walks, and a 407 slugging percentage. So he's got an OPS of 859, which again is very, very good. Is Jordan Groshans close to getting called up, Scott? Is he putting up numbers that are too hard to ignore for a team with a struggling offense?
My hesitancy to bring up Jordan Groshans is, where does he slot in? He's a natural shortstop. He's been getting some reps at third base. Two positions that are pretty cemented for this major league team. What are you going to do? You're going to sit Chapman all of a sudden? You're going to move Bo off a shortstop? Jordan Groshans is 23 years old. He consistently moves up to the next level, struggles a little bit, and then finds it and excels. And that's what he's doing right now in AAA, is he's excelling. After his call up last year's season, I don't know how to answer that, man. Maybe he is ready, and this team needs some sort of infusion of energy, if you will. Maybe that is the right call. I just don't wish to see Jordan Groshans called up and then sit on the bench. And I don't think that's something this organization will do. I think it's far more likely to see somebody a little bit lower on the ceiling ranking of prospects. You know, like you look at a Jordan Groshans and everyone feels his ceiling's quite high. So maybe they would rather bring up a guy like Nathan Lukes or Samad Taylor, who maybe they don't feel their ceiling is quite as high. And if they wind up sitting on the bench, it doesn't wind up affecting their development. If that makes sense, right?
It does. I mean, the comparable is Vinny Capra.
Yes.
Right. I don't think anybody wants Jordan Groshans getting the Vinny Capra treatment at the major league level, where, you know, he's that left side of the infield guy. He was doing really good in AAA. That's why he got called up. Mm-hmm. But we haven't had at bats to give him. I don't know why that's the case. Like, I don't know what Capra is doing on our team at this point.
Especially considering Charlie seems to find ways to get Zimmer into this lineup.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, why are we pinch hitting Zimmer? Like, I don't know where Zimmer fits on this team at all, honestly. Like, I don't know if he's got dirt on someone in the front office or what the case may be.
He knows about an affair.
Yeah, he's just like, you know. I don't know what I can't explain it at this point. Like, we are far enough into the season where, you know, he is what he is. Like, it was a gamble that didn't work out, but, like, you know, there's that whole sunken cost fallacy of, like, well, you know, we've invested this much into him already. Hopefully we can get something out. But, like, no, we got to just cut our losses. I think Roshan's needs to get called up, man. I think.
Yeah?
I really do. I think he's playing extremely well. I hear your argument about, like, well, they're, you know, we're not going to sit Chapman for him. We're not going to sit Bo Bichette for him. But, like, are we going to just use, like, that argument still applies next year, right? So are we going to wait 3 seasons from now before we call up Jordan Groshans? No, we're not, right? Like, he's going to have to come eventually. If he's hitting like he's hitting and he's ready, bring him up. That's what I always say. Get him up.
Yeah. You know? Like, yeah, the thing with Groshans too is because he is considered a high-end prospect. You know, it might light a fire under some of these guys' butts, right? Maybe there will be playing time that is taken off the table to some of these guys.
Chapman is not our forever solution at third base. No. We got him for 2 years and then he's gone, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can't see the Blue Jays re-signing Chapman, to be honest. Let's get Groshans to learn third base from one of the best to ever do it.
Yeah.
Right? Just like we had Bo Bichette under the tutelage of Marcus Semien last year. Let's like milk some of that professionalism, like just a guy who, you know, gets it done, and like some of those little things. Like, let's get Jordan Groshans to just absorb as much of that knowledge as we can over the next 2 years, right? Like,
well, I know I even had myself convinced that the solution here was to bring up Moreno and Groshans and really put the fear of God into some of these guys, you know, bring up your top prospects and show some of these everyday players that maybe their playing time is at risk a little bit if they continue to scuffle quite this much. Yeah. Not that added pressure is what's going to get these guys out of it, but maybe the energy and the youth of two new guys like that, you know, a Moreno and a Groshans who make their MLB debuts and, you know, they fit into that youthful side of the clubhouse and they're reminding guys like Bo and Vladdy of the excitement that comes along with playing in the major leagues and that this isn't an opportunity that should just be taken for granted. I'm grasping at straws, Adam. I don't know what the fuck you do with this team.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'd say get Groshans up first. I want to see, you know, he's the less risky of the him and Moreno and Martinez. Mm-hmm. Like, Martinez is obviously younger and further away, despite being, you know, a top-level prospect as well. Bring Moreno up, but I want to see him up, and I want to see him in the game. Like, let's give Chapman a day off once a week, you know, put Groshans out there, get him some DH days. Like, let's see what his back could do at the major league level. Like, but yeah, I don't want to see him get called up and then sit there and just hanging out. That doesn't do him any good. But again, are we going to wait 2 years to bring him up? Right? Like, are we going to wait till 2024 to have him come up?
Point.
No, of course not.
It's a good point.
So if it's not, you know, if we're going to have to shoehorn him in 2 years from now, we might as well do it now, I guess, is my point. You know, like, different story if he's hitting 295 in AAA. He's hitting amazing in AAA. Get him up.
There's a DH spot available. Absolutely. And Santiago can move around the infield. Bo is kind of cemented at short. But, you know, like, you can DH Chapman here and there. Maybe you do throw Groshans in left field every once in a while.
Look, you could DH Bo Bichette once a week, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, there's nothing wrong with saying, let's just say it, 6 games in a week.
Yeah.
Right? Chapman plays third for 5 of them. Groshans plays third for 1 of them. You do the same thing with Bo Bichette at shortstop. He's our 5 days a week shortstop, and Groshans plays 1.
You're right. His numbers look really good. And when Rezzy put those on in Discord, my eyes kind of popped open a bit. I was like, oh, shit. Groshans is really having himself a good year at AAA right now. So maybe that is something that we can look forward to. I don't know.
I'd like to see it. All right.
Me too.
Two last comments here. So first one comes in from a Blue Suede Jays on Twitter. Says, when are you boys having the Sportsnet crew back on the show? I love Shai Davidi.
Nice.
Yeah, love Shai Davidi as well. Great timing for that comment, though.
Actually, amazing timing for that, because we actually have Arden Zwelling joining us tomorrow. So if you are interested in getting some questions into Arden, this is a great way to do it. Join our Discord, and you can drop it in our upcoming guest pull-down. So you're just going to go in there and you can drop your questions there. You can obviously DM us on Instagram, the Walk Off Podcast, or at Walk Off Podcast on Twitter. And yeah, we can see what Arden has to say about some of these offensive woes.
Now, not to toot our own horn, but I do think it's worth mentioning that getting Arden back on the show was not planned by us.
No!
We actually are double booked now for Wednesday.
Yes.
But we didn't have to beg and plead and send him money on Cameo and try and twist his arm into doing the show. No. Quite the opposite. Do you want to say how we got Arden to come back on the show?
It's very, very cool. Arden reached out to us. He said, hey, boys, I'm doing some podcasts in the next week or two. Do you want to be on?
In the rotation.
In the rotation, are you guys cool with me coming on? And we're, of course, we're like, yeah, obviously, yeah, Arden. That Arden would be freaking awesome.
So, there you go. So, pretty cool. All right. Last one now. So, this is hockey related. So, we don't have any more baseball news for today.
Yes.
But this is a very important hockey related comment. So, as everybody who has been with the channel for more than a month may know, and Scott's adjusting his Calgary Flames hat. The Battle of Alberta is in full tilt. Edmonton Oilers, Calgary Flames, second round of the playoffs. So it's been pointed out that Scott and I, Scott obviously as the Flames fan, myself as the Oilers fan, we need some sort of a gentlemanly bet, a wager, if you will. We agreed we weren't going to get tattoos, we weren't going to shave our beards off, and we put it out to all of you to help us come up with a friendly bet. And this is the one Scott and I have agreed to. So this one comes in from Marcus G, who says, easy hockey bet stakes. The loser has to write a grade 6 level school report explaining how the two types of war are calculated and read it in a hostage style video on the channel. I hope I'm not setting the bar too high on a 6th grade level requirement.
No, I love this, actually.
Yes.
As some of our long-term listeners have quickly come to find out, our analytics knowledge sometimes lacks as for how to even calculate certain of these analytic stats. So, yeah, it would be quite interesting for either of us to try to explain war and RC. Yeah, like...
Yeah, so that's what we're going to do. Hostage-style video, probably reading right from a script, show a picture of today's newspaper so everybody knows that we are safe as of today, as of recording. So that's the bet. I don't think either of us wants to do it, which makes it good. That's what you want in a good friendly
meeting. Also, I do want to clarify something here. I am a diehard Flames fan, have been my whole life. Adam Mack is a man who lives in Edmonton.
Yes, I have been an Edmonton Oilers fan since I found out that it annoys Scott.
Yes.
Is basically what it comes down to. No, I live in Edmonton. I've been here for 2 years. My daughter is getting into hockey more and more. Obviously, she plays hockey, so all of her friends are Oilers fans. So we have embraced the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, I'm a Montreal
Canadiens
fan. But
Adam's true team is the Canadiens. Yes.
The lottery winners. Yes. So hopefully. Anyways, in the meantime, I'm cheering for the local boys.
We're going to end on this because it drove me absolutely nuts. I was out at the bar on Sunday watching game three. Of course, the Flames just face planted, had a terrible showing. And Oiler fans are throughout the bar. They're cheering. They're chanting. They're all excited. And then there's literal Gen Zers. And I've never been so upset with that generation in my whole life, saying things like, well, you know what? You got to feel good for Oiler fans, though, right? And I was just like, what fuck? Where am I? What do you mean you got to feel good for Oiler fans? Absolutely not. No. If anything, we should be in Oiler fans' faces telling them to get out of our bars.
Exactly.
Like,
gross. No, we don't cheer for Josh Donaldson. We don't support the other team and their happiness if it comes at the cost of our happiness. Ever.
No.
That's sports 101. That is pretty cringy, Scott. All right.
Yep.
Good note to end on. Live stream every Tuesday, Blue Jays games. We're not doing that tonight, right? You and I are both watching the hockey game.
Yeah, I don't think there's a need to do it tonight. Do you?
Nah. We'll catch you guys on the next week. Tonight we got game four, Oilers and Flames. Go Oilers. Want to wrap it up from there?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. At Walk Off Podcast on Twitter, The Walk Off Podcast on Instagram. Go Flames. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to The Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! With a drop. Cheese and crackers. Chose to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.